Welcome to Unapologetically Asian, the place where we talk about navigating through adulthood as Asian Australians. Today you're joined by Tiana
and Amber Lou.
Well, welcome to the show, Amber. Thank you so much for taking time out of your hectic touring schedule to join us today. Where are you joining us from?
Right now, I just landed in Shenzhen, and it's my last stop in China. So before we head off to Australia.
Ah, amazing. Yes, you're so close yet so far away. And
yeah.
What time is it in Shenzhen at the moment?
It's 4 p.m.
4 p.m.
We're chilling.
Well, you're chilling. And are you feeling jet lagged? How are you feeling? How are you? Let's check in.
The days are blending in together. they have been for a while, but I just kind of go with it now.
Yeah. So let's go on a bit of a journey. I want you to, at the moment you're in China, but I want you to pack us in your suitcase and I want us to hypothetically fly back to LA, which is, I know, where you were born and bred. Take us back to what life and what home was like before you were Amber Lou, Asia pop phenomenon.
You gotta stop, dude, throwing out those titles. I'm just like, oh god.
All right, Amber Lou, Chinese American gal.
Life for me back at home was, I think, I would like to say pretty normal. My family and I grew up in like a suburb, very just go to school. I would come home, I would skate and I would play basketball. I liked running a lot. I did a lot of sports growing up. I liked studying as well. I really liked studying. so I was doing pretty well in that. I think at certain points I was really that really odd kid that was just like, I didn't really fit in a group. I just kind of like migrated from one group to another. Mm. On like the sadder side of things, was picked on a little bit, or a lot just by the way I looked. So there was that, but I definitely found like a couple good, really good friends of mine who we just started doing music together. And I was like, hey, this is a guitar and like we could play it like this. And he's like, oh, this is really cool. That friend ended up turning into a guitar genius, by the way, and I still cannot play. And then, I really enjoyed I think a lot of my really good friends were just made through studying and just kind of, I don't know. I was, again, that weird kid that just tried to do everything because I just really wanted to find a place. Yes. And I have my sister, my older sister, who I, at the time, hated. I like
that's
hated
the way,
her,
isn't it?
Yeah. And she and I, we fought a lot growing up, but we're super close now. And she is, funny enough, the music genius. She plays like six instruments. She did ballet and tap and contemporary dance. She even at one point trained to be an actress. So like, yeah, so she's super cool. My dad was just always working, but he always kind of supported us in just being all like, do what makes you feel alive and what you're passionate about. But if you're going to do something, do it with your whole heart. My mom, super supportive as well. She was a singer. She's a singer at church. So she's very like, very artsy. She's like, but does that bring you happiness? Are you happy though? But at the same time, I think that a lot of my upbringing, I felt very disconnected with my at least my mom, because my dad spoke fluent English because he immigrated to the States when he was really young, but my mom only spoke like very, very basic English or none at all. The only things that she could say is like, oh, are you happy though? Like, does that make you happy? Or are you hungry? Never in
classic,
like that. Yeah.
Classic Asian sayings.
Yeah. So she would be very supportive and like she, I guess in the ways that she would support me were definitely asking those questions, but me being a kid, I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, sure, mom. Mm-hmm. But she would always bring me to like practices or pick me up from school, things like that. In the ways that she can contribute. And then when I was 14, that's when I got scouted, and I moved to Korea for like 12 years.
Oh my goodness. I think you said you touched on a few fascinating things then. One of them is just about this idea of belonging, and you're talking about how you were trying a lot of different things because you just, I think as kids or even in our adolescent years when we're searching for our true identity, we desperately want to assimilate or we desperately want to belong to something or someone. And I think especially growing up with the Asian diaspora experience as well, it can be quite challenging, right? And I can't imagine, and you also then moving to a foreign country where you don't speak the language there as well. It's just like, how did you manage all of these different conflicting identities, I guess? Like, Amber growing up in LA and then Amber growing up in Korea, was there a point where you started feeling yourself? And I'm just interested the journey that it took to get there.
I think I didn't when I was younger, like pre-K-pop days, was definitely I let my interests lead me. And it wasn't like, and then yes, if I met some friends through that, then I would, kind of mesh with them. However, kids being kids, where you're like, oh, your friend one day, I don't know you the next, kind of like, kids are kind of cruel
I
sometimes.
know.
Very, very blunt and very, very honest. But I think I always felt that, I don't know. I think maybe due to the fact that like I think generally most girls were at the time were extremely feminine and just doing their thing. I didn't really relate with that, so I would always hang out with the guys. But at the same times when I would be with the guys, I'm not one of the guys. So it's like this like I don't know what I am, where I am type of thing. And I don't think I ever. I don't, I, it, if you like sit and think about that, like, oh, it does feel lonely. But then when I think I just really focused on, oh, but right now sports is what interests me, so I'm gonna go play sports. I'm not gonna, even though I'm playing ball with the guys, that's not gonna stop me from enjoying like playing basketball, or in the ways that like I think I like to go shopping, but my guy friends don't like going shopping. But at the same time, my friends that were girls, they would like be like, oh, like we should do this, and I'd be like, yeah, sure, why not? Let my if at that moment someone accepts me, I just kind of went with it. And again, it letting it be more interest driven. Teenage Amber, baby Amber, just did stuff. But I think same thing with Korea too. My heart was telling me, oh, if you don't take this chance to go to Korea and at least try, and even if I fail, I just go back home, So I really let that lead me. And it's at the same time, as you said, like going to a foreign country where it's you don't speak the language, it's not your culture, and just trying to relearn all that. At times too, there were definitely points of like, oh, I don't think anybody really understands, or I don't know, it's a very niche problem.
No, but I think it can be quite universal as well, right? Like I think like it's quite common. Like not I'm not saying everyone has the same lived experience as you because
Of
obviously
course.
you're a chameleon and I cannot believe I just cannot believe that you were able to do that at such a young age as well. But I think there is that common kind of ground where people do feel lost or misunderstood or you kind of feel that fight with yourself on, oh, where do I belong or who am I, that type of thing. And it's a nice thing when you get to the point where you're like, oh, okay, like this is who I am. And when
No.
you're in and oh, tell me about your experience in the K-pop industry. I know like I've done a bit of research just about what it's like, but I'd so interested to hear your own experience. I know there's definitely a lot of highs, but there can be a lot of lows as well. And something that I have really taken out of watching your career is that you always like to talk about community and giving back and having a lovely like mentoring. You're a mentor figure to a lot of people in the industry as well. So, like, tell me a little bit about that period of time of your life.
I think going back to like at the time, yeah, it like my issues were very, I guess, quote unquote, niche in the way that like there weren't many foreigners in Korea training to be a K-pop idol at the time. And at the same time, I remember the day that I got in, I was one or two, like there are only two female foreign trainees. The other one being Victoria, who was in my group. But she was already like shooting like commercials and doing a bunch of things. So she was not really there at the time. So I was always going to the facility and hanging out with the guys. But then there was like a separation between the girls and guys back then stuff. So it'd be so funny. Like I remember there's a time, it was like my first week there. There was nobody at the training facility other than the foreigners, which was were like five guys and me, the only girl. But we could not be in the same room together, I guess. Again, I don't know why, but yes, there was a rule like that. But I'm not gonna practice on my own in just my first week there. I have no idea what's going on. So one of the guy trainees, he was like, yo, just come practice with me. I'll teach you a dance combo. I'm like, oh, I don't know how to dance. This will be great. And he teaches me a set, and then because our training facility is in a basement, so you could hear people like going down the steps. And I literally, like, when we heard that, we literally bolted out and we like separated immediately.
Oh my goodness.
It's just like we didn't want to get in trouble. So, I think at those times, like, again, I am 15, so 15-year-old brain and like 15-year-old like drive of like I want to learn everything. I'm in a foreign country. I have no parents. This is great, but at the same time, I'm training to become a professional singer, dancer, whatever idol thing. So it didn't hit me till probably like 6 months in that I really missed home. I think there was definitely a very cutthroat like mentality of like you just gotta train, you just gotta train, just train. But at the same time, maybe it wasn't me seeking like, oh, I'm like seeking solutions. It was just more like I'm just venting out like, man, I really miss home. But then at the same time, the feedback that I would get is more, you should be thankful for where you're at. Like in that tone of like, why are you even thinking about that? You should be thankful for where you're at. Why should you even thinking? It's like, well, I also just kind of miss home. That's it. Of course I'm happy to be here.
It's like it's the duality of it, right? Because it's like, of course, like I can really appreciate the opportunity I have, but also like it's so normal for the novelty of an excitement to wear off, and you're like, oh my God, I miss my parents, or oh my gosh, I miss my sister, even though like we fought a lot at the time or whatever. Like, of course you're gonna miss that because it's like all you've known, right? And you spoke a little bit about training. Is training like, just training in terms of singing and or writing and dancing, or what does that kind of involve?
So each trainee has, and there's like sometimes at the most I've seen, there were like 50 of us, and then at the least there were like 20 of us. So people were like, but a lot of them like stayed for like years. I was definitely one of the newer trainees, and even me debuting after a year and a half, that's a really quick turnaround, especially for female trainee. Most female trainees, I think, train from like 4 to 5 years, but we're all given classes. So, and it's like blocked off for us. So if you're in like A group or B group, or like we'll have our names on a board, and there's like the acting class, and it's so and so, so and so, so and so. Dance class, same thing. So there's a lot of downtime, and in those times you're kind of expected to be practicing like what you've been working on. Some days you don't even have class. You just go and you just practice what you've been working on. And then every week we would have a like a test where we're videotaped of like our singing, our dancing, our acting, our rapping, or whatever it may be. And then they give you feedback. Sometimes it's pretty harsh, sometimes it's pretty okay. Well, like I guess even if it was good, it would be like, that was okay. It was just very not much of a reaction. But as long as you weren't yelled at, you're doing okay. And then after that, like I think every 3 or 6 months you would have a big showcase. Then that's when the company executives come and all like the, important people come to really like see what's been going on. I wouldn't say that the training part was itself was hard, because I rather just really like I really enjoyed it. But I think it was the amount of like, again, I'm a kid and I'm also just like, now I'm just like in a building 24/7 and I'm just only expected to do this. And I think I might be downplaying it right now just because I don't really remember as much, but I did really have a sense of like heaviness, a lot of pressure. Also that just constant like, oh, I could be let go at any time kind of mentality. At the same time, like, and this is for me relearning these things. Like I went through I still go to therapy, but I like relearned a bunch of things and kind of really reflected on my years of like I guess how I basically grew up and how it's affecting me today as a person. Like I'm super hard on myself to a point where I'm like losing my brains because like I think I just never really took the time to say like, Amber, wow, you did a good job.
You didn't have time to.
No, I did have time to. And even if smallest mistakes when I've performed in the past couple of years, it's just like I did one mistake and it was something wasn't perfect and I would just lose my mind and I would just like go into a full like anxiety episode. A lot of these things would just be really ingrained into my body and I didn't even know that was going on. So again, like I think there's like small minute things that just kept building up over the years, and especially putting yourself out there at such a young age, which I think a lot of child stars growing up kind of like get trapped in. Because I actually got a lot of comfort actually listening to a lot of people who started as child actors or as child celebrities and then them growing up. And then whether they're in the industry or not, them kind of coming kind of full circle around with their experiences. I watched a lot of those types of documentaries and I was just like, whoa, so I'm not alone in this. So,
That's so
yeah.
no that must be so comforting. It's comforting when you feel like someone can relate to you. There's that sense of
Yeah.
like, okay, yeah, you're not alone, you're not as isolated.
Yeah.
But I think it's amazing how you talk about mental health so openly, because just in society in general, like especially in Asian households, mental health is very rarely
Yeah.
spoken about. People rarely share their emotions because we've been conditioned to. And I think also, like when you were talking about how you felt so like that thought, or that if you made a mistake that would linger, I think that's also like a product of your environment, right? You're conditioned to feel like you've got to be perfect, or you this opportunity could be taken away from you at any point in time. I love how you, as I said, I love how you're very open about your feelings, but I'm wondering if that has that been something that you've always had, or is it something that now as an adult, because you've gone through therapy, you've been able to reflect and you want to share that a bit more?
I've always wanted, I think especially when I think when you talked about like, thank you for saying it too, that like I've always been someone about community. And I think that's something that saved my life because when I was in Korea and I knew that more foreign trainees were being picked up by different companies, we kind of it wasn't that we made a community, it just became a community because like people knew like just let's go to Amber's place, let's just like go chill there. And I always wanted to open up my space if it because you know sometimes like living in dormitories, even though it's you know again living with your bandmates, it's great, but you don't have a place of your own and you're also in a foreign country and you kind of just want to get away from something for a bit. Like I understand that feeling, so I was always telling my friends, I was like, hey, if you need to just come over just to kind of like blow off steam or just have like a place to just kind of relax, like feel free. And then like that kind of just became like my place to a lot of people. I think the ways that I felt alone and like really trapped, I just wanted somebody else that was going through some, maybe even something similar to me to also know that they weren't alone in it. And that's why I also think that now throughout the years and after going indie and just doing my own thing and really kind of being in tune with myself, number one, therapy in the Asian community is just not really, it's very looked down upon.
It's seen as a weakness, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that we're all human, and that's something that I'm always repeating to myself every day that I'm a human being. Yeah, you might think of me as an idol, you might think of me as a pop star, or I have all these things, but I'm a human being and I also make a lot of mistakes. And I, but for Amber Liu, yeah, I'm always willing to just try and get better and better. But at the same time, like, I can't put such a heavy weight on my shoulders when I also just need to kind of like chill out a little bit. I don't know, I just want to bring back that humanness we are all human. We are all just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like everybody's like, Amber, you got everything sewed together. I'm like, no, I don't.
But I love that you're so open about it and that you share that because
Yeah.
it makes it more relatable, right? It's like when people, that's why people gravitate towards you, I think. It's not like, of course, you're massively talented, but I think more than that, when you showcase your vulnerability, like people really resonate with that and they love it. So thank you for being so
Oh
open about
no,
your
I.
journey. Like it's refreshing and it's also really, I think, really good for people to like hear that they're not alone as
Oh no,
well.
thank you. I really appreciate that, Tiana. I'm just like, I think the way that I really re-centered myself was number one. It's like, who am I singing to? And I think that was a huge struggle for me the past like couple years, because as you said, like I could totally not share all these things and feel unattainable or something. But I think always just being honest to people, just about how I feel, has always just been a part of me. Like that's why, like my whole crew is like, I'm like, guys, let's do it. Like I'm just, or like, guys, I'm feeling a little down right now. Just like let me chill out for a bit. They're like, oh yeah, that's cool. Like I think we have that camaraderie just because I try to be, I always try to be honest as I can. But at the same time, I always want to make sure that knowing that I have a platform and that I have people who I guess technically look up to me, and balance that out with not feeling so pressured, because I'm just like,
Well, I was gonna say, like, you spoke a little bit about it before, but this burden that you must feel, like, I can just imagine people say, like, reading out your stats and being like, oh, Amber's got like a gajillion followers and she's, you know, touring worldwide and she's got all these fans and stuff like that. And I can just imagine that that adds a lot of, like, it can be, of course, it's a blessing, because you're doing
Yeah,
what
of
you
course.
love. But then also, I can understand how it would feel. It's just even more pressure on yourself that you're in this limelight. And how do you deal with that sense of, I can't imagine what that's like to have the whole world watching you. Like, if you think about it, I can't remember what your stat was. I think maybe like 17 million or something like that. That's like a country of that's a population of people. That is insane. Like, how do
I,
you, how
even when you
does, how, I
say it, I
can't.
get stressed out.
Yeah, like, I'm
Like,
sorry, I didn't mean to stress you out,
no, I'm totally kidding.
I'm like, how does that even, I don't, how do you deal with that?
As you said, number one, again, it's practicing gratitude that, wow, I'm able to just do what I love and also just feel that love and receive that love back. But number two, it's also bringing it back to younger Amber. What did younger Amber need? What did younger Amber want, in a, I guess, a role model? And I think when I answered that question, it was someone who's just genuine and honest about, you know, their struggles and like their strengths. Someone who's just human, a human being, because I think not every, I and this is something that I talk to my friends who are artists, like in the generation after me. They're always like, oh man, like Amber must have been so hard for you back then, that in that time in K-pop. And because I'd be sharing about like what we would do in our routine, I guess, promotion scheduling, and I would hear about theirs, and I'm like, dude, but when I hear about yours, I feel stressed out that you have to constantly be pushing out different types of content and the social media game, and again, numbers and analytics, and then again, how that starts affecting us as humans, of we're like, oh my gosh, my follower, like, because there's like bots on all these sites at a certain point, like your follower count drops, or like your video didn't perform better than the last one. And it's like, okay, are we now equating people to numbers? And I don't think that that's very healthy. And that's something that I relate to too. Like when I like, oh, when I see a number, I'm just like, oh, I get super stressed out. Like, oh, we didn't hit the quota. Oh my gosh, blah, 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 blah. Like, I think that's just how, when my relationship now with the internet is that it's become so unhealthy. And I'm like, wow, I think a lot of people are also like dealing with this too. So, I think in some ways it's just, sorry, I know I tangented it off a
No,
lot,
it's so fine.
but,
Yeah, I love a tangent.
I guess at the same time, just like, when I deal with all these things, this again to remember that I'm just a human being. Life is it's a wave. It has ups and downs, and I think to always, and this is something I learned in therapy, to always be so anxious about the future is not the way to live. And that just really takes away from you focusing on the right now and how you feel right now. And that's something that I've been practicing at least for the past year, like trying to tune myself into this moment. Like yesterday I was having a mental breakdown about like, oh my gosh, my iPad wasn't turning on the way that I wanted it to. But like, I have to like remind myself like, hey, like Amber, you're anxious right now. It's okay. It's just an iPad. You can definitely turn it on the way you want. And I'm like, wait, yes. Ah, okay. And it's always just like around, again, how to center yourself in the now, I think is what's given me a lot of peace. And like, even at my concerts, at my shows, I could be thinking about like, okay, but I have to, tomorrow I have to go to this place and then this place. But after I tune all of that out and I just focus on, oh my gosh, this fan in front of me is screaming her lungs out. Let me vibe with her for a little bit. And it's never rehearsed. I just go out and do it. And I think just living in the moment has been just so priceless for me.
Oh, I can imagine. So freeing, isn't it? And I think I love, and this ties back to everything that you just said, but before you mentioned about like you just remember who you're singing for. And that there, it's not a number. There's like humans behind that. And I guess when you're on stage, you can actually see, oh my God, like these are the people that are they here for me? Like this is for me. That's
Like,
crazy.
stop it.
Like guys, but come. Like, speaking of touring, and so sorry, I know that we're kind of a bit over time, but I'll kind of wrap it
Oh
up soon.
no,
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear
I'm
it. So yes, you're on tour now. You're at the moment. You're gonna come to Australia soon. We're so
Yes.
excited to have you on our shores. And I think you've been doing a bit of a Asia stint at the moment.
Yes.
What is it like? Like, what are you most excited about coming to Australia for? You know, is there anything that you remember from your last time here? I think you last time you were here, it was part of a Asia Pop Festival. What can the fans expect?
Well, my shows are all very, very, it's there, there's a progression, like there's a song, we have a set list, but it does get a little bit unhinged sometimes. Yesterday, I totally forgot and I just changed the set list by accident.
Were your band like, what the
No, they're all like, yeah, well, I'm down.
Like,
Okay.
okay, good.
But my goal this whole tour was number one, just to get back in front of and meet my fans. And that's why Australia, I was like, they're like, hey, you want to go? I'm like, yes, let's do it. I've like, when I went to Melbourne, that time was my first time, and it was for a festival, so I was super happy to be out there. But I was just all like, oh, but they've never seen Amber show. And yeah, me at festivals, like you get like a taste of it, but like I'm pretty stupid when it comes to my shows. I'm just like, I roll around on the floor, like I'm just like, I don't know, I'm just dumb as hell. So
No,
I just always try.
we love the unhinged energy.
And I don't know. I just really want to, again, like I've seen people online. I have like my Discord group that I do gaming with, and I've been meeting them. They're like, oh, I'm so and so in your Discord. I'm like, what? I spent like 4 hours with you building stuff in Minecraft, you know? And it's just kind of going full circle. So to always just kind of put, because every city has their own vibe. So I also hear there's a little bit of an Australian city rivalry.
Oh, Melbourne is where it's at, okay? Melbourne supremacy, Amber. It's Melbourne. It's not that I'm biased, but Melbourne is on top.
right.
It's always
All
Melbourne.
right.
Okay. Not to shit on any of the other states, because Australia, all of our states are amazing. But if I'm gonna be honest, I reckon Melbourne has a friendlier crowd. If it's Melbourne versus Sydney, that's my opinion. That's just my opinion. I don't
Okay.
know. I don't know. I don't know. You'll just have
All
to come
right.
and find out. But I'm excited to hear like if you notice anything different about the crowds and that type of thing. Yeah, that would be good.
Your opinion is definitely heard, and I will be feeling it out when I'm in each city. I'm like, all right. I always tell the fans when the concert starts, like the only one rule at my show is to be yourself here. So if you want to dance, if you want to be loud, if you want to be quiet, like do that. Like I'm even if I say hands up, you don't have to listen to me. Like, just become, I just want like my concert to be a comfortable space for everybody where people don't have to feel like they have to act or be in with whatever's going on. Just like enjoy it, because you know you had a hard week at work or at school. Like, let loose here. Like, I'm not gonna expect you to act a certain way. So that's something that I always like to do at my shows. And on top of that, like, sorry, for this year of the tour, I was able to rework the set list a little bit, and we're playing some demos. Yeah, so it'd be just teasing some stuff. And I've definitely added some bits in where my band members now, like, we have like a little, I guess, I would like to call it the sexy catwalk. So but that comes randomly. So
Well, we'll look out for
we'll
it. We'll look
see.
out for
We'll
it.
see what happens.
We'll see how you feel. Thank you so much for your time. I've had a blast talking to you and getting to know you more. One last question I want to ask that underpins the heart and soul of our podcast is what makes you unapologetically Asian?
Oh, and my fans know this. My undying love for boba. I can have like three or four. I do not do this anymore, but I can have three or four bobas in one day and be like, I want more. I
Oh my
can
God,
eat
I'm
boba by
impressed.
itself. Like, my mom growing up, the way that I actually got introduced to boba was my mom would just make a bowl of it and coat it in honey and brown sugar, and I would just eat it as a dessert like that.
Oh my
So
gosh.
get on my level, boba fiends, because you ain't topping my boba eating skills.
Ah, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Amber. I really, really appreciate our chat and hope to see you when you come to Australia.
No, thank you so much, Sian. Are you gonna come to the show?
Hopefully, I'm hoping that I'll be able to make it. But one of my team members, she absolutely loves you as well. So, yeah,
Dope, dope.
I definitely want to come and see that sexy catwalk. What a
Well,
note to
I'll
end
keep
on.
it in
What a
mind
note
just
to
for
end.
you.
Thank you. Well, we'll see you soon. And again, just thank you so much for your time. And thank you everyone for listening at home. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. And please support Amber. Where can the listeners find you?
On all my socials, I am Amber Lou, Spotify Amber Lou. I am Amber Lou. Yes. Amber Lou, very
Amazing.
easy.
Amber Lou, love it. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoy the rest of your
All right.
evening.
No, thank you. Thank you, Tiana.
If you like what you listen to, you can find us on your favorite podcasting platform. Remember to support us there. You can also find us on social media. We're at Unapologetically AZN on Instagram and Unapologetically Asian on TikTok and YouTube. Thank you so much, everyone. Sending love and good vibes. Bye.